Blog Talk Radio.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, happy birthday, happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, happy birthday, happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, happy birthday, happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, happy birthday, happy birthday.
My late sister, who you hear Cousin Linda talk about, her birthday is on September the 1st, and our late cousin Trent on the 25th. Those are Virgos, but it's still Leo season, so big shout out to fellow Leos and Virgos as we celebrate August, the month of August, the end of summer. Next month will be Labor Day, and fall will be arriving. I know it's hard to think of summer ending with the kind of weather that we are experiencing in certain parts of America and around the world. And my apologies for my tardiness, but I wanted to catch some breaking news to share on the podcast. But I want to send prayers to those who are experiencing fires in Canada. And, oh, my God, the Maui EMS head resigned in the midst of all that's going on. But, you know, you all have seen the press conferences where they people are, and reporters and all are really getting on the leadership regarding the power lines and all of that. But, you know, oh, and I hope that I'm not going in and out because I had my Bluetooth on and my Bluetooth turned off at the beginning of the podcast, and I pray it doesn't go in and out, or definitely Cousin Linda will be talking all of the time during this broadcast. But I wanted to share quickly because I mentioned it briefly yesterday. Those of you that might be coming to Mississippi for part of the to celebrate, I don't even like saying the word celebrate, but to come and experience the Emmett Till's 68th anniversary commemoration weekend. And it is a celebration, what a heartbreaking celebration. But there will be the 68th anniversary next weekend, so just letting those that might want to drive in or fly in, or I'm sure it would be on Facebook Live or YouTube. Next Friday would be a private screening of Till at the two museums, and there will be numerous events going on throughout the weekend. There will be a panel discussion after the private screening of Till, and if I'm not mistaken, it would be Congressman Benny G. Thompson, our U.S. representative, my friend Jakia Summers, who is a Mississippi State representative, Angelique Lee, who is a friend of mine and also awesome city council person of the ward that I live in. Visit the website, Emmett Till Legacy Foundation.com. The 68th anniversary weekend is next weekend, August the 25th through the 27th. So visit the website and check out the event. I'm sure it would be on Facebook Live or YouTube. I'm quite sure some of it will be on there. Let me share a little bit more. 5 p.m. next Friday, the private screening of the motion picture Till, and that's presented by Emmett Till Legacy Foundation, and it's a private screening of the motion picture Till that will be shown at the two museums in Jackson, Mississippi, and will give attendees and community members an opportunity to engage with members of the Till family, special guests, and next generations of youth leaders. And there will be a couple of tours. The tour is designated to educate and enlighten visitors about the life and legacy of Emmett Till, a young African-American boy whose tragic death sparked the civil rights movement, led by knowledgeable guides. You'll also visit important sites and landmarks associated with Emmett Till's life and death, including the courthouse where his murderers were acquitted and the site where his body was found. Through this tour, we hope to shed light on the ongoing struggle for racial justice and inspire visitors to become advocates for change in their own communities. Don't miss out on the opportunity to learn, grow, and connect with others who share with your passion for social justice. So that is the write-up for that. The screening, I believe, is almost sold out. That's free. But the tours, the events range from free to $100. If I'm not mistaken, you can visit the invite and see. Those tickets are almost gone because the private screening is a free event, but most of the other events are up to $100. If I'm not mistaken, the tours are like $35. Visit the website Emmett Till Legacy Foundation.com, and also two museums, also their Facebook page and their website also for more information. And Angelique Lee also share a lot of information, because that's where I got my information from, her Facebook page. So again, welcome to Culture Shock Entertainment Reports. I just wanted to share that because I said yesterday I would provide that info and did not want to miss out on sharing it, because I know many of you are interested in knowing what's going on with that anniversary. And that's not this weekend, next weekend. This weekend is the Mississippi Book Festival, which will be held on tomorrow at our state capitol. And Mike Pence will be there. And which Cousin Linda broke the, you know, the news to me. And I had thought about going to Mississippi Book Festival, but it's going to be 102 degrees, meaning it would be 112, 115 heat index. I care about my health to get out there in the midst of that heat. And I get very excited. I get very excited when I'm in environments like that, too. So I'm taking it easy. But it will be on C-SPAN. So those of you that want to see, it's always on C-SPAN. So tune to C-SPAN bright and early and watch it all day. You will just love it if you've never, you know, and then you'll see beautiful Jackson, Mississippi, our state capital. So check it out, C-SPAN. I'm glad I remembered that. So, again, welcome to Culture Shock Entertainment Reports, and Cousin Linda is on. I opened her mic because I had to leave the system so I could read off the information for you. But it's Foodie and Fun Friday, and let's have fun. I also wanted to see, I heard that there was going to be a press conference at 2:30 because there's talks of closing our zoo, and I wanted to know what was going on with the, and I wanted to share with you all what was going on with the future of our Jackson Zoo. So those of you that can help us with our Jackson Zoo, please help us, please. The little girl in me is just heartbroken, and I've been planning for years and years and years, and I in celebration of my birthday, I'm like, one of my friends, one of my besties who's a guy, we said we're definitely going when it cools off. And they're talking about closing it because it's not profitable and the animals are old. Well, one council person, a president, is talking about closing it down because we're not making a profit, the animals are old, and not enough employees. And job vacancies. A lot of people need jobs, and I don't know why people aren't applying to work at the zoo. And it's just a lot. It's a lot been going on for years regarding our Jackson Zoo. I know some of you are saying, if it's not one thing, it's another in Jackson, Mississippi. But I pray for us, and those of you that can help us, please, because I know we have many animal lovers out there and many around the world that have, that can help us get new animals and help us get accreditations where we need to and all of that. So and those of you that can meet with our mayor and advise our city council, our city government, and work with Jackson Zoo and work with the community on what we can do, please do. Please do. So I get off my soapbox. I also wanted to talk about some political stuff that was going on, but it's Foodie and Fun Friday, and we're gonna have fun. Cousin Linda, I know, plans on speaking of some things that that she mentioned on yesterday that she would talk about today. So, thank you all for joining us. We're super excited every time there's a show. So, thank you, our worldwide listeners, and those that are right in Dallas-Fort Worth metroplex area, Jackson, small towns, big cities, villages, and islands. Thank you for your love and your support. Email us at culture shock, kultreshokent_bet@yahoo.com. kultreshokent_bet@yahoo.com. And also those that like to want to send financial support, Cash App, $, BETHBTRU, KULTURESHOK, $, BETHBTRU, KULTURESHOK. And just a big shout out. Big shout out to Cousin Linda's squad. I think tomorrow's their lunch date. Big shout out to my Avon community, to No Labels. No Labels bringing us all together. Just a big shout out. Big shout out to Traders Village in Grand Prairie in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex. Big shout out to you all. Big shout out. Big shout out. You all know, you know, a place I love where Out of Africa Imports, my late brother-in-law's store is located. So big shout out. Big shout out to all those of you that love us, and we love you back. We just thank you. I know. Let me be quiet. I'm just so grateful for you all. So let's have fun with Cousin Linda, and let's do it. Are you on, Cousin Linda?
Yes, I am. Good afternoon, Cousin and listeners.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon. Good evening. Good morning. Good late night. Good wherever you are in the world. Hello.
Hello. Yes.
Hello, darling. In the words of her mother, my lovely Aunt Helen. Hello, darling.
Oh, so you're channeling my mother. Yes, that turn.
Yes,
that is
love. You know I love you, so Aunt Helen. And I love all our aunts. I love Aunt Helen, Aunt Bobby, Aunt Kat. But Aunt Helen and I love a hug, and I think you say you love a hug. So obviously you got it from your mom, but my mama used to say, there's Aunt Helen. Because I love
a hug. Where I got the like to hug people from, because I'm definitely a hugger. And I didn't know my mama was darling until some of my girlfriends started telling me that. They were like, I love to hear your mother say darling. Why did she say that? I was oblivious to it. It was brought to my attention. I started noticing it. But prior to that, I never say it, darling.
Right. So the mass thing, yours, a meeting tomorrow, right?
Yeah, we're having lunch tomorrow at Grand Lux Cafe.
Ah.
Mm-hmm.
You're looking forward to it? I've seen your post regarding a barbecue house that you all had once visited, so I don't think you'll be revisiting that place.
No, I didn't like that barbecue. That was just me, Laverne, and Jamie, because the three of us used to get together and go to lunch and dinner or whatever all the time. But Jamie likes to try restaurants that aren't chain restaurants. He likes the ones that are individually owned, which I like too. But it just so happens that Laverne and I don't do all of that driving anymore. And so what's convenient is chain restaurants. And so that's why you will see me or you will see us at a lot of chain restaurants. And maybe one day Jamie will start back taking us to lunch, and we will experience all of these individually owned restaurants. And speaking of restaurants, I'm glad that Facebook runs ads. A lot of times people complain about the ads, but I found out about all these restaurants in my area. I was looking at I was watching one of my favorite shows, Hawaii 5-0, and scrolling through Facebook, and I saw a Vietnamese restaurant, which is not far from where I live. And I said, well, I got to try it, because the only time I've eaten at a Vietnamese restaurant was when I was in Hong Kong, and I want to try some here. And then there is a place called Paris Baguette, and I'm just looking at the desserts today just have my mouth running water. Oh, I got to go try them out too.
Yeah, I noticed one of my friends that I graduated with that lives in the Dallas area, very successful. I noticed he shared pictures from a Vietnamese restaurant. I'm trying to remember, how you pronounce H-U-A-N-G? Huang?
Wong.
Okay. So Wong. And I have many Vietnamese friends. I know they were correct. Like, Bethany, you butchered that. But, I'm not sure exactly where it's located, but I remember the name. But I don't know what part of Dallas it's located in, but I know he lives in Dallas. And I'm like, okay, because Tommy's not the only one. My late brother-in-law, your late cousin-in-law, if it wasn't Mexican, he was eating Vietnamese other than us going to Madea's restaurant. So
yeah.
Wow. So that might be the next spot. You're picking the next spot.
Yeah, I gotta talk with the ladies and see how they feel about that, because there are several Vietnamese restaurants in the Dallas area, and there are several of them not far from where I live. I remember when they opened one not too far from me years ago, called Pho, P-H-O, but they pronounced it Pho, which was like I guess a soup or something, and it stayed open years. I don't know what happened because it's no longer in that same location, and they may have moved to a different location or something. But it seems like Vietnamese cuisine has just really taken off in the Dallas and Carrollton and Richardson areas.
So what's the name of that restaurant again? And you're gonna suggest it to the ladies, huh?
This one is called, and I'm like you. I hope I pronounced it correctly. Pho Midway. P H O. Yeah, it's P H O Midway, and P H O I'm told is pronounced as Pho, like F U H. Pho Midway.
Right. Ooh.
So, yeah, and there are some trucks in the area, too. So, we have international restaurants around serving international dishes. So it seems like whatever your taste buds are hankering for, you probably can get it in the Dallas area. I don't think we have anywhere near as much as they have in Houston, but Dallas has a
lot. You read my mind, because I still was in shock. Even I've never been in Houston though, but I hear that Houston food is just awesome in Houston. So I'll let you continue. but I was still in shock that Dallas wasn't on the top of those lists that we were talking about last Friday.
Well, it depends on who is doing the list or conducting surveys or whatever. Because some of the places that I'll see where they get, you know, like 5 stars, and to me it's a 1 star or no star at all. So it just depends. So whoever did the survey that you're talking about, they may have a bias in favor of you.
Right. Are you on?
Yeah, I'm here. I was just waiting for you.
Okay.
So did you want me to be talking about restaurants?
Yes. You mentioned yesterday that you were going to say something that we almost moved into to today. So what you said you would say for today.
Whatever it was, I've forgotten.
Oh, one more question. Tell us about the luck. Tell us about the look. It sounds, I like the name. Tell us about the restaurant that you're visiting tomorrow.
I do, too. Well, a couple of the people that are going to be there tomorrow said that it's like Cheesecake Factory, and they don't like Cheesecake Factory food. I'm glad it's like Cheesecake Factory, because I like Cheesecake Factory food. And they have some dish. It has shrimp and salt. Just salsa that goes over the shrimp, and it's hot. It's spicy hot. It has, I think, serrano peppers, pineapple, little chopped onion, and tomatoes, cilantro. It's very good, and it's served, I can't remember the name of the dish, it's served with rice and plantains. But it is so good, because I know Laverne and I have been there together at least twice, maybe three times, and she said, well, you always get the same thing. And I said, well, it's what I really, really like, so I don't want to take a chance and order something else. But I've never been disappointed with my dishes and service or nothing else at Cheesecake Factory, and I do love their cheesecake.
I love cheesecake, and I've never eaten at the cheesecake. I don't think I ever eaten at the Cheesecake Factory. Wasn't it one in the building that used to be at the West End? You know, the shopping in us. Remember that building? What was that building called? That had all the stores. And I think I had cheesecake there. I think there used to be a Cheesecake Factory in that building. Remember that little shopping building right there at the West End, Dallas Alley? You mentioned the Dallas Alley.
I remember Dallas Alley, but it's been so long since I've been down there. I just barely remember Dallas Alley. Because I remember when they built that back in the 80s. And I don't think it became the tourist attraction that they thought it would. I don't know what's going on down there now. Cause I just don't go in that direction. That's too far from me. And I've gotten lazy. I like doing everything in my neighborhood or maybe just a little bit outside of my neighborhood.
And that's what I love about the Dallas Metroplex, too. And many of you probably live in areas like Dallas Metroplex. And Jackson have a few neighborhoods like that where you don't have to leave out your area. You don't have to leave out your community and go very far to experience fun.
Yeah, it's
definitely
thing I need is in this area, from dry cleaners to grocery stores, restaurants. Now, we don't have a movie theater, but I can just go up the street to Plano, and there's a 17-screen movie theater up there.
Right.
Or I can go down to Addison. They have a movie theater down there. So I'm in between two. So it's just pretty much everything you need is in your area. You know, the Walmarts, the TJ Maxx's, and tons of fast food restaurants. So I really don't have to, unless, you know, you just want to go out of your comfort zone to go to something like Deep Ellum or the West End or Uptown. And I think Uptown is really just an extension of Northeast Dallas. You know, they started naming all these different neighborhoods. Mm-hmm. So pretty much everything you want is within a five-minute radius of where you live, which is very convenient.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so what were you saying about the Lux?
Grand Lux, that was it. I'm looking forward to it. And I saw
So what type of food? What type of food? I know that you mentioned some of the food, but what other? It seems like it has a larger menu. It seems like there's more.
Well,
what you're telling us. I guess you'll find out when you get there.
Well, it's American cuisine from what I've seen on the Facebook ads. You probably have seen the Facebook ads, Bethany, and just scroll past them. But you have your burger there, and then you have your chicken, your shrimp dishes, just a variety of stuff. But it's pretty much what we would call American fare.
Uh-huh. And it's at the Dallas Galleria.
Right.
Yeah. Oh. But we look forward to seeing those pictures and hearing your food review. You all, those of you, these restaurants need to listen to our reviews.
I tell you, well, you know, we used to post reviews on TripAdvisor, but they evidently, I don't know what happened, sending me emails, and they stopped asking me for reviews. And when I went to the site, the website, it had changed a whole lot, and I just decided I didn't want to go with it. Yeah.
Right.
I decided, but
I don't
I'm still on there, but I just didn't want to fool with it because it's so different now. I'm still on there,
but I have trouble logging into my original. I can see my original site, but I have trouble logging on to it. It's Dreamer Beth. Those of you on TripAdvisor, I'm Dreamer Beth. I can still see my posts, and they seem to still want me to post, but share reviews, but I have trouble logging into mine. A new profile pops up, and I want to, add to my past reviews.
Me too. That's the same issue that I was having. And they still have my old reviews on there, and they're still getting likes and what have you. But when I tried to just click in, it was like they wanted me to set up a new account. And it seems like they're more geared now to selling rather than just doing reviews. They want you to book your hotel reservations on there, your airline flights and all that. And I was like, I don't need to be going through all these changes just to post a review.
Because it's TripAdvisor. But I noticed that, too. It seemed like it's trying to become like a booking.com.
Uh-huh. Because they were saying that my reviews were helping so many people because a lot of my the people that reviewed my postings were international people. But, that's where I was traveling.
And mine were regional, Dallas and Jackson. Dallas and Jackson is region because I was in the top 20 for regional, and you probably was in the top 20 for international.
I was in, the top 3 for international.
Ooh,
and I posted local. But, I was way, 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 way up in the top. And because I did everything, the most expensive on down to just your medium-priced hotels and restaurants and what have you. And like I said, I had a lot of people from foreign countries that were looking at my reviews. And then all of a sudden, I just stopped hearing from TripAdvisor because they used to be contacting me. Have you eaten at any restaurants lately?
Well,
I'm like, oh,
they used to contact me and then let me know my status. Like, they let you know you was in the top 3.
Yeah,
let me know you're in the top 20, And they do ask for the reviews, but I want to add to my reviews and, cause like you, stay with my original profile.
Well, I started doing Google, and the way I found out about that, I had gone to some restaurant. It was one of the Saturday lunches, and I had looked for the directions on Google, and then Google sent me an email wanting to know if I had eaten there and would I mind doing a review, and I was like, no, I'll be glad to do a review. Well, all of a sudden, now I have a profile on Google, and I'm doing reviews. I don't know what my all I know is I'm doing Google reviews.
And that's good because Google, a lot of people talk about Google. A lot of people, a lot of people use Google as a search engine for their businesses.
Yeah.
I know my Avon community, I love Google in that respect of what you're talking about. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So now you're a Google reviewer. Because I was wondering, do you ever do Yelp?
No, I was. That was what I was saying. I don't really want to do reviews on Yelp because they had nerve to sue people when they first got started. And if people were giving bad reviews, those people would actually sue you for giving bad reviews. And I said, well, I'm going to try to stay away from Yelp. Now, I have done about 2 reviews on Yelp, but they were favorable because I'm like, I'm afraid to give a bad review because I'm not in a position where I want somebody to sue me just because I have an opinion. I mean, if you had lousy food and lousy service and maybe I saw a roach or a rat or something in your restaurant, I don't need to be pulled into a courtroom trying to prove that that's what actually happened. So I don't really do Yelp. I might read some of their reviews, but I'm very reluctant to post a review on Yelp.
Right. Yeah, I have heard some weird stories. Yeah, I had a friend that used to do events for Yelp here in the Jackson area, and they were nice events. They would send her to, banners and pay for everything. And she did some really nice events. I know she did one at the planetarium that they sponsored and paid for and sent all type of promo stuff. Yeah, I don't know why she stopped doing that, but look, she might have seen something with like similar to what you mentioned.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I heard you talking about the Jackson Zoo. You might want to hurry up and take a little visit before it's all gone. I think they could probably do a petting zoo. I don't know how many people that would attract, especially to where the zoo is located. But there are
right.
so many zoos in this country. Until personally, I just don't feel that a zoo would be a big attraction.
You know, many people want that for Safari Zoo. Like Dallas have the Dallas Zoo, and then don't Dallas have like the Safari Zoo? But you know, Dallas, like Tommy saw explained to me too. That's a, I mean, you all have millions and millions and millions of people in Dallas. You all can support two
right.
zoos. You all, you know, Dallas can support two zoos, a city zoo and a safari zoo. And, you know, people want that safari zoo over there on Lakeland Drive. But if but I'm thinking we need to take care of the Jackson Zoo and
yeah.
prove that we can manage a small zoo before getting a big zoo. And now people are saying, well, see, we should have invested. Well, that's definitely millions and millions of dollars to cost the cost of building and the cost to be certified and all of that. So we need
well,
to prove I'm, you're right. If it's downsizing or you know doing our best to manage the zoo that we have before we can even do a safari zoo.
When I was looking at comments, I guess 5 or 6 years ago from Jackson residents, I was just amazed at the negativity of people who were talking against the Jackson Zoo. Nobody's going to
right.
go to that thing. Look at that neighborhood and blah, blah, blah. And I said, well, if they had enough money and could fix it up and do something with the neighborhood rather than being negative, try to make a positive out of it. But since there are so many haters in Jackson, and I don't know what they had against the Jackson Zoo, because it was a nice zoo back in the day. The thing that ruined it was integration, because the white segregationists decided they would rather close the lake, Livingston Park, the lake over there, rather than allow black people over there to swim. And so the zoo kind of started going down after that. I think most of the patrons were black people. And then the crime got so bad in Jackson. But, you know, I told you not too long ago, Bethany, that when Michael Payne and I had come over to Jackson's that weekend where they had that zoo in the park fundraiser thing.
Zoo Blues. I love Zoo Blues.
Yeah,
and that was a fundraiser for the zoo.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's when they were saying, where's everybody from? And I said, Dallas, Texas. But I'm originally from Jackson, Mississippi. And I had my T-shirt. I kept my T-shirt for I don't know how long. And I just was really hoping the Jackson Zoo would survive. And what was the TV man's name that was trying to raise funds for the zoo?
Probably the late Bert Case. I'm not sure what you're talking about. But it sounded like Bert Case.
No, it was not Bert Case. It was not a local person. It was the national TV guy, the zoo man. He had a TV show. And
is it the man that just passed away? The one that just passed away?
Yeah, that not too long ago. Well, anyway, he would do fundraisers for the Jackson Zoo.
Yeah, he sure was. Right, he sure was.
I can't think of his name. I can see his face and everything, but I can't think
Me
of his
too.
Name.
And I was heartbroken to find out that, you know, he'd been so sick. I remember when he became sick, but I was heartbroken. I didn't think he was going to pass so soon.
Yeah, and then like I said, the Jackson residents were talking about, well, they need to move it out on I-55. They need to move it.
That's the safari idea. Yeah.
Well, forget the safari idea and just go with what you have. I think they could improve the zoo if they improve that neighborhood, because Councilman Stokes used to be trying to save the zoo, if I'm not mistaken, and wanted it to stay
in that area. Right there by the zoo. Right. He lived right there walking distance to the zoo.
Mm-hmm. So I don't know, but it was just so much negativity surrounding the zoo that I couldn't understand.
Well, I'm glad to hear your stance and your opinion on it. I'm glad you think that way, because that's how I think.
Yeah, there are so many things that could be improved in Jackson, but you first got to clean up the city. You've got to make the streets passable, and you've definitely got to cut down on that crime. And stop making people want to leave and take their tax dollars with them. So,
right.
I don't think Jackson. Yeah, there's no way Jackson could support two zoos. No way. They could.
And that was my thought when they were talking about that. I'm like, we need to make do and do the best we can for Jackson Zoo, then move on up, and then. Mm-hmm. Then open a second zoo. Then my brother and some other people said, well, opening two zoos would be one Cousin Linda. One would turn into a white zoo, one would turn into a black zoo. Cousin Linda, some people made comments like that, too, regarding having two zoos.
That's probably true. Whites would probably go to the one in North Jackson, and blacks probably would go to the blacks probably wouldn't go to the one in what is that, Central Jackson. They probably wouldn't, because I mean, as long as it was there, it wasn't supported. Because I tell you, because
it's the blacks that's saying they want the safari zoo, and then I'm like looking like, well, we need to maintain what we have and show that we can. Yeah. What God tell us, God shows us. God wants us to take care of what we have before we're blessed
right.
with more.
Yeah, see, we always are looking at the grass is greener. And a lot of times we think the white man's ice is colder. What they have is better than what we have. And that's just not true. Take care of
and
your
Cousin
own
Linda,
stuff.
That
but like I was saying, first, do something with those streets and make some nice parking over there and get rid of the crime and open the lake back up, because it was a really nice lake, and as hot as it is in the summertime, you probably get a lot of people over there wanting to swim and have fun in the lake, and to have a little train that goes through the zoo. That would really be fun for the kiddies. And our friend and our old folks, we had a nice time on the little train going through the zoo. So
right.
Really,
and my fondest memories of the zoo was the lake, the train, and when you all would take me, my mom and you all would take me to the zoo. I loved it because we could get on that little paddle boat in the lake and paddle on the paddle boat, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And there were ducks. You and I talked about ducks at Bobbin Lake. We had the ducks.
Mm-hmm.
And then one of my favorite experiences was the capsule with the monkeys and the flamingos.
Yeah.
That was just a wonderful memory.
Zoo food, you know, the snow cones, the popcorn, the cotton candy.
Mm-hmm.
Probably some hot dogs, or maybe put some barbecue over there and serve some beer. You know, if they could get an alcohol license to serve ice cold beer,
right.
They could really work wonders with that zoo. Now, you might not have to have all the exotic animals start out small,
right.
And then if you get enough money and employees, maybe it could go back to actually having the exotic animals.
Right. Exactly. Right. So we're even brainstorming right now we're having a brainstorming session of things that can help improve it. But Cousin Linda, you sound like Coach Prime in regards to the Veterans Memorial Stadium. That's how he was speaking about the stadium, and that's always been my stance on the stadium too. Let's take care and renovate what we have, and until we can even break ground for a new stadium.
Yeah, you know, it seems like people have these pie-in-the-sky desires. And as the old saying is, the champagne taste or champagne desires or whatever with the beer budget,
right.
it just doesn't make sense to me to be talking about building a new stadium for Jackson State when you've got Memorial Stadium with the best location. Buy up some property and get a real good parking lot and just improve
right.
that stadium. But right here talking about we need some state funding to build a new stadium. Well, you know that is highly unlikely that the state is going to give Jackson State any money to do anything with.
And UMC won't veteran. I hear UMC just waiting so they can get it and knock the stadium down and turn it into a parking lot.
Mm-hmm.
So it's best to take care of what we have. We get a good architecture firm because it's one based right here in Jackson. Renovated stadiums at, I think, Ole Miss or Mississippi State, maybe both, based right here in Fondren. Hire that architecture company. Wim McElroy, Jackson State product. He the one that did the baseball field in the sports area and a part of Jackson State. Mom and I know him. He was once married to Doug Anderson's daughter Denise, and mother used to keep their children when they were married. It's not that firm that renovated the Ole Miss and Mississippi State stadium. Hire Will McElroy to renovate it. The Veterans Memorial Stadium, because if they lose the contract and UMC get it, then we have nothing. So, right, the same
right.
with the zoo is the same with the Veterans Memorial Stadium. Let's renovate.
Well,
Coach Prime, he brought it to light. Let's renovate. When he went to one of the classics in, I think, Alabama, he noticed the same thing at the stadium there. You all need to renovate this stadium. You know, we don't even have Wi-Fi. Had to do it. It's a lot of stuff that a lot of things he brought attention to, not just for Jackson State, but all the HBCUs. So people that talk negative about him, he brought light to a lot of things going on at the places where they visited, too. So you're right, the zoo.
Yeah.
We need to make do and do our best. But this council president, thank God the mayor, when the mayor suggests them raising taxes, and you make a good point about taxes, but there are other alternative ways that we can downsize, work with organizations. We can even maybe try to work with Dallas Zoo. Can you help us on how to manage our zoo properly? You know, there's many effective ways to build up.
They probably could look at some YouTube videos and see how to improve things. I don't think
right.
that much is required for Jackson. I'm not being facetious, but I'm just tired of the...
Yes, you and I are coming up with some good ideas that can work, that
yeah,
are realistic.
But this thing about we want state funding and they won't give us, I'm like, look at all these darn Jackson State graduates. Hit up your boosters, if they have any. Hit up your alumni. Make them contribute, because a lot of the things that go on at other universities, the other race, they have alumni people that contribute, like $125 million for this, that, and the other. $90 million,
right.
$1 million. That's what you need to do. If y'all love Jackson State as you claim, what is it?
Right.
Be I love or I love.
Be I love.
Yeah. Well, y'all need to
Cousin Linda. Because Jackson Taylor produced a lot of millionaires and probably a billionaires. Oh. You know, the billionaires are not going to say anything. They're going to stay quiet. They're going to like, y'all can think I'm not a millionaire. but Jackson Taylor produced. If we just donated a dollar, those dollars will add up to where it can fund it.
Yeah,
you're right.
You know, that break ground on some seating or make the Jumbotron bigger. There is a lot that could be done if we would get them pie-in-the-sky ideas out of our heads. You know, well, are we going to go down here off of Terry Road and buy up this? And then here comes this real nice architectural rendering of how it could look. And I'm like, I don't care. Much you buy down there, you don't have enough space. You can't buy up enough homes and apartments or whatever to build this humongous stadium. And one of our relatives was telling me, oh yeah, it could be done, it could be done. I'm like, no, it can't. Y'all ain't gonna get no money, so quit talking about it. Now you got a stadium, work with what you have,
right?
I don't know, but like I said, it's always the grass is greener. We want what they have, and you just want to say, well, look what we have, rather than trying to make something actually happen. A lot of
right.
talks, and you know what they say, money talks and the other stuff walks, and all I hear is a lot of the other
Street,
stuff.
Cousin Linda. Right.
And one of the former professors might be, I don't think he's still teaching at Jackson State, but he's their biggest, I guess, cheerleader, I'll say. I got so tired of looking at them darn drawings of a stadium that he was posting.
We just ended, and I had scheduled for 45 minutes, but I should have kept it at 60, so we went on to 5:15 or 5:30. I tried to do it right before we watched our news come on. But what were you saying? Which professor?
Okay, Dr. Lackey.
That's what I was going to say, because I'm friends with Dr. Lackey, and I noticed Dr. Lackey would tag you and show you and have on your page a lot of that stuff, too. I knew you were talking about Dr. Lackey. Dr. Cooley, oh, my God, I was one of his favorite students. But he was, I remember seeing all that on your page, too.
Mm-hmm. And he knows I ain't going to give a damn to Jackson State. Not one you know how Hell, it took me forever to grad from Jackson State because they did all they could to keep me from grad.
Because I never talk about my experience with the student loan. I have only a few credits to graduate, but something happened in the loan office with my loan, and that's why I stopped. I didn't just up and drop out of school. Something was happening with my loan.
I paid my way. And Jackson State, they did me so dirty and low down, Bethany, because I was supposed to have graduated in 1970, but I think I was maybe two courses and student teaching short. So I was like, no big deal. And I kept wanting to do my student teaching in the country, Flora, Edwards, and Raymond, or something like that. And old Mr. Short, who was over where he would send us,
Raymond,
you know, to go on the field. Well, his old ass kept trying to court me, and I wouldn't give him the chance.
Oh,
day.
No.
I was like, what do you think me, a little young 20-something, want with your old, ugly-ass married self? And and he was like, well, you going to do your student teaching in Jackson. I said, no, I don't want to do my student teaching in Jackson, because they asked you to put down where you wanted to go, and you had three choices, and Jackson was not one of mine. So to make a long story short, I didn't go to school one quarter because I didn't want to go on the field. And so I said, well, I'll just wait and go the next quarter. So the next quarter, that sapsucker put me down there for Jackson again.
No
so
way.
I said, if I want to graduate from this darn stanky institution, I guess I'm going to have to do my student teaching in Jackson. So he sent me to Brinkley. So that was cool. But when I got ready to graduate, you know how you have to get measured for your cap and gown, pay your fees, and I ordered 25 invitations, and I sent out invitations. Okay, that was the second quarter. I didn't even have to go to school the third quarter, not even. Okay, what do? I had gone to visit Uncle James in Las Vegas, and when I get back, there's a letter in my mama's mailbox to me telling me that I wasn't going to graduate because I hadn't had a freshman course, Bethany, freshman year, and a junior year course, and I had to take those courses, and therefore I would not be able to graduate. But I don't know who it was. When I enrolled at Jackson State, they said, save your grades because Jackson State will pull this on you. They're going to try to say you didn't have these classes and won't let you graduate. So I must have driven from there.
Class told me to transfer to the USM. I wouldn't have any trouble. But I went on to Jackson State, and a lot of my friends did go to USM, too, even though many went to Jackson State. But, yeah, I guess that's what Hines is trying to say. Some of your courses won't be transferable, but all of them be transferable at USM.
Well, it's not
right.
I didn't have nothing. Mine wasn't none of this transferable stuff. I had taken these damn classes and passed them.
And Jackson State.
I got an A.
So he must been mad because you was Courtney's old butt.
Well,
I don't blame you.
That wasn't Mr. Short was dealing with going on the field. This came from the registrar's office at Paget Wallace Francis Swan, and you know he had a lot of boys in there that I'm going to be blunt that said was sucking Swan's dick, changing grades and. Old people and all that. Everybody knew Swan wasn't nothing but old queer, and how these guys that didn't even go to class were getting A's and stuff. Because when the grades got to the registrar's office, Swan would change them. But I must have driven from Bel Air out to Jackson State in about 2 minutes. I went flying up in that registrar's office, and I showed this letter to the woman. I said I had this class when I was a freshman, and I
like mama.
And then I had this other class when I was a junior, and I had passing grades in both of them. And then I produced my grades that Jackson State had sent me. And then they were so killing, they stupid asses gave me 2 A's when I went on the field to do student teaching. And that let them know they had really made a mistake because it had on their student teaching A, student teaching A. So it's kind of like, okay, so how do I get
so that
two
person
A's
that advised you to keep good records was right. You glad you took that advice that he.
And it was the, I guess, a blessing from God. Because like I said, I don't even know who that person was. It wasn't a friend of mine. I don't even know him. But that's what they said, to keep your grades. And when I showed the grades, you know, old Mr. Swan, you know, with his old mouth all turned up, if I had a gun, I'd have killed that MF.
I
got
to Google Mr. Swan.
I'd have killed him. I would have blown his head off. I mean, if this was the case, Bethany, why didn't they give me that information during the second quarter?
I thought you was a Jackson State graduate, Cousin Linda. But look, you were like, went through.
Girl, and you done heard me talk about Jackson State like a dog for years. You just be ignoring it. But what I'm getting at is I went to school the first quarter. I did not need to go to – I did my student teaching the second quarter. Well, I was through. I didn't need to go to school the third quarter because I had completed everything. And then, okay, if that was the case, why are you going to wait till 2 or 3 days before graduation – to tell me that I need to take 2 courses and a freshman course at that? Why didn't you tell me this during the third quarter when I could have taken the classes? I was, you know, second quarter when I finished my student teaching, I was through with school. So So I go on a vacation, and you gonna tell me that I need to take some classes that I have already completed
and come back from vacation in Las Vegas? Wow.
And I was like, this don't even make sense. And so Swan, I don't think he was going to really believe my grades until he saw that they had made a mistake and gave me 2 A's for student teaching. Go ahead and correct that or something, he told the girl. I mean, that was just dirty and low down. And that's the kind of shit that they pull at Jackson State. It might be a lot better now, but when I was out there, them was some dirty low down dogs.
Well,
and especially at social
when
science.
I was there 89-91, I was Hines 86-88, or Jackson State 89-91, the way they screwed up my paperwork. And I wasn't the only one, so students probably going through the same thing, but hopefully it's easier and smoother.
Well, I don't know, but I
a couple of my neighbors just graduated from Jackson State, 2 girls, sisters, but I don't know what they had to go through.
Well, a lot of people didn't have to go through nothing. I don't know how they choose who they going to discriminate against.
Right.
But like I said, the department I was in, social science, they were known for being dirty and low down because I was making A's and B's in my minor, what did I minor in? History, I think. Some of the history classes I took from certain people, from some white instructors, I got A's and B's out of them. But them damn black-ass nigger teachers in the social science department today, they don't like, they take a personal dislike. And that Evelyn Foster and her old husband, E.C. Foster, who I'm told left her for a white woman. See, they didn't like me.
He was in city council. He was in city council like in the 80s and the 90s. Yeah.
And Ivory Phillips.
I wonder where Mr. E.C. Foster is.
And you know, Dr. Ivory Phillips, I think he was a city council person or something.
He was
so dirty and low down. It was a crying shame because I know when I transferred from
Bible. I thought he was dirty because I have never really become good friends with him. But something told me that man was not what everybody be putting him on a pedestal to be.
He was a dirty low down dog because when I transferred, I was a biologist.
I have never vibed to get to know him.
My major was biology when I first went out there, and I could tell I wasn't going to be able to pass some chemistry and math courses. And so I said, well, let me switch over to something else. So I switched over to social science, mainly because you didn't have to have foreign language, because I had 4 years of foreign language in high school, and I didn't feel like going through that anymore. So I switched over to social science. And when I was over there, I was getting Dr. Phillips, because he was head of the department, to sign some paperwork saying that I could transfer from biology to social science. And this young lady came in. She was a senior trying to graduate. And she was almost in tears, and he had given her a D. And she was saying, Dr. Phillips, why do you do this to your graduating seniors? She said, we graduating seniors, and you giving us D's. And that's what the sapsucker did to me. He gave me a D in one of my required courses. Now, that's all right, hell, I passed. But he was just dirty and low. That's why he just hated people.
You passed.
That was my thing. I'm like, I ain't taking this shit over. Hell, a D, that's passed. And the only thing was I didn't get no quality points. But I'm like, I got enough quality points to graduate. I had way more than enough hours because I had been out there 6 damn years. So I had the hours and I had the quality points. But his ass don't give me a D in whatever class it was I had, and I was like, that's okay. But I was saying, why is he treating students like this? And it wasn't just him. It was a whole slew of folks. It was my freshman year, Dr. Warren. He had been there forever. Old coot, you wouldn't have known him. And he was just so stupid and would give these crazy-ass assignments. I just got an incomplete from him. I just quit going. I didn't even withdraw from the class. I just quit going. I said, maybe it'll turn to an F. And I said, once the class turns to an F, I'll just take it over. Well, every quarter they would show incomplete. But then, and then
well,
Dr.
You just
Curry.
A no-show. So you were just a no-show. You just...
And then Dr. Curry taught economics. I had to have economics 1, 2, and 3, 201, 202, 203, whatever. So anyway, I had been avoiding Dr. Curry like the plague because I heard he didn't get nothing but D's and F's. So one summer, I was in summer school, and I ain't had no choice. I'm like, I'm going to get away from Jackson State one way or the other. I have got to graduate, so I'm just going to have to buckle down and take Dr. Curry's test. And I had heard his test was so hard that even he couldn't pass them. So he didn't know I used to read a lot of Time Magazine and Newsweek Magazine, and then I watched the news, so I was up on current events. I was up on the stock market and manufacturing, stuff like that. And so whenever he would be asking certain questions in class, I could answer them, mainly because, you know, like I said, I'm into current events. And a lot of the other class couldn't. And then when he had the test, well, his test was pretty much based on, really not to me, on economics per se, but it was based on current events. I could make A's on his test. That sucker gave me a C. But I was telling one of my friends out there, I was like, y'all, I got a C out of Dr. Curry. And my friend Jesse Gary, I'll never forget it, Jesse Gary said, that's like getting a PhD from Harvard. Dr. Curry gave you a C. I'm like, you didn't give me no C. I earned that grade. And then the only F I ever got in my life was from this bitch from Utica. Pat McGill, she had talked some friends of mine down to Utica, and they had told me what a hellcat she was.
They were black
or
white.
And
they were black or white, cousin Linda.
She was black. Yeah, and then she was going with one of the guys in the class that I took from her. She was going with one of the students, honey, because everybody knew that was her boyfriend. I think he got an A. And she gave me an F. That's all right. It's the only F I ever. Yeah, he come in there with a briefcase every day, and they never said a word. He didn't answer not man question. He didn't.
Oh, he was one of the briefcase holders. Oh my God, he was one of the briefcase
guys. Yeah, back in the day when they were carrying
just briefcase guys.
Girl, they didn't know A from shit from Shinola, as they would say, walking around out there with attache cases. And her old boyfriend did it. And look, Lackey tried to hook me up. Somebody was having a get-together at somebody's apartment, and he had invited Pat McGill because he was going to try to talk to her for me to try to get me at least a D, I think, out of the class. And so I couldn't find the apartment. And then the next day, Lackey was talking about, how come you didn't show up last night? I was like, because I couldn't find the apartment. He said, well, Pat McGill was there. She was there, and if she was going to talk for you. I was going to talk for you or something. I said, that's okay. But anyway, she gave me an F. But that's okay.
If I still mention your name, but like my friend Linda probably is coming.
Yeah, because see, that's the kind of shit they used to do. And when I was a biology major, Dr. Greenfield, who was head of the biology department, girl, I'm just little old freshman, little old sweet and innocent thing from the near high school. And here come Dr. Greenfield talking about, girls, if y'all want to go to bed and have sex with me, you can. But I'm still going to flunk you. If you can't pass my test, I'm still going to flunk you. Dr. Greenfield, baby. He said
now I went to school with some Greenfields. I hope that's not their daddy.
Probably light skin, good
hair.
Oh
my God, from Bel Air. You know, Oh my God.
Yes,
wow.
Baby. Dr. Greenfield.
And he said y'all can sleep with me if you want, but I'm still going to flunk you.
Yeah. He said he still was going to flunk you. If you didn't pass, I was like, and see, he didn't want me to change my major.
I ain't never done that, but I think people that do that, they do expect that.
Oh, it was a whole bunch of folks doing that. And that was just, I ain't know nothing about no sleeping around for a grand.
Look, he let people know up front. So if you sleep with me thinking you're going to get a good grade, I enjoy a good time, but you still don't.
He didn't want me to change my major because when we had the college entrance exam at Jackson State, there were 21 groups, and I was in group two. I scored so high on the test. And so Dr. Greenfield was like, ooh, he said some of our best students.
I got to write this down.
And anyway, that first quarter, when I was looking at my grades, I got a C in zoology. I got a D in algebra. And so I told Dr. Greenfield, I said, I'm just not going to be able to remain a biology major. I said, I can't do it. And so he was like, I went to Dr. Uzodinma, who was, I think, the dean or something. And so Uzodinma was like, well, if you want to change your major, I would rather see you do well in something you don't like rather than to do poorly in something that you do like. So he told me I had to go talk to Dr. Greenfield. So, so when I went to Dr. Greenfield and was telling him, he said, I run this department. Dr. Uzodinma doesn't. Dr. Uzodinma is under me. I want you to stay a biology major. And I was like, ooh, no, sir. I just can't do it, Dr. Greenfield. I can't stay here. I got to transfer to another major. I can't take it in biology. And so he finally saw that my mind was made up, that I'm changing my major one way or
maybe
the other.
Maybe if he talked differently. Right.
Yeah, baby. Well, I was going to hang around that biology department. No goodness.
So many students have given up on their passions because of not the course, but because of the teacher. Wow.
And see, they didn't offer the help and coaching and stuff that a lot of schools offer. And that was my problem with Jackson State, because I'd be listening to folks talking about, oh, their college life was just so wonderful and how they had tutors and this and that. Jackson State was like, I hate your guts, and I'm going to do all I can to make your life miserable. And, well, you know, teachers would just flunk you just to be flunking you.
You have a good point. When I was there, they get 89 and 91. They could give good pep talks, but you're right. But, like, advising you on tutoring or extra doing work, extra research, guiding you, you on your own.
No,
tell me what you come up with, figure it out. But they would give you some pep talks, though. Figure it out.
It was always a threat. And then Dr. Foster, the woman, she would have classes at night knowing I had a job and I worked at night. And you're going to have to be here for time. So I said, Dr. Foster, I have to work. I know those people will let you off. I said, no, ma'am, I work for South Central Bell. They don't care where I go to school or what I do. They want me there to work my shift. I can't just walk up in there and say, I'm not coming to work tonight because I have a class at Jackson State. And I guess she thought I was lying. Don't play folks who play on that job. Dude, it wasn't like I was working down the street at the Smack Oval, and I'm just going to tell somebody I can't work tonight because I got a class or something. And I'm like, I don't even know why we having class at night. And she would come in. And then she would come in and slam the door like something damn crazy because we'd be done made poor scores on the test. And a lot of the students didn't have books. So she came in slamming the door one day, and I was like, why are you just slamming the door?
Are you serious? Well, she would get pissed off and come in slamming the door. Wow.
I was talking about it doesn't make sense because I was a junior, and some of the students were seniors. It doesn't make sense for a senior not to have a book. So I raised my hand. Linda. I said, Dr. Foster, I said, it does make sense for seniors not to have books. I said, that book costs, I think, about $30 or something. I said, and I wouldn't have a book if I worked full time. I said, there's no way I could have afforded this book. Because, you know, you have to buy books for all your other classes. And they were high as hell. And so, yeah, and some of the students, they act like they were just scared, shitless of them. Because one of the students, he was like, he used to call me White. He was like, White, you shouldn't be talking to Dr. Foster like that. I said, that bitch can't do nothing to me. Hell, all she can do is flunk me, and that's it. And I'm not going to let her come in here and talk to me like I'm crazy and like I'm a little piece of paper. And so she stood up in the class one day and called me arrogant. Because I did a report, and my report was funny to me, so I started laughing while I was doing it. And she told me to go sit down. And then when I wouldn't sit down, and she said, and Linda is this and that, and she's arrogant. I said, Dr. Foster, I am arrogant. But just because I don't take what, you know, I don't remember exactly what I said, you know, but I said, you coming in here slamming doors at grown people because we didn't pass some tests. I didn't do what you expected us to do. I'm like, what's slamming the door going to prove? That doesn't prove anything. You ain't making nobody sick but yourself. She just couldn't stand. An old husband couldn't stand me. But I did get a C out of both of them. And both of the courses were in my field. So I was like, as long as I get a quality point. Girl, Jackson State was horrible. That was one of the worst experiences of my life was going to Jackson State.
Wow.
So I would give them a penny for nothing. Well, look like it's about time for the news. You going to be on the prayer line tonight at midnight?
Yes. What about you?
Yeah, I set my alarm. I hope I ain't too sleepy. And like you said, since it'll be going on to 6 o'clock in the morning, I don't know if I'm going to make it to 6, but I'm definitely going to wake up at midnight and be on there. And Bethany, when you be having them prayer requests, girl, don't be going on and on and on and on and on. I heard Pastor say, you forgot what I was going to pray for.
Sometimes I do the bullet points. Sometimes I do the bullet point.
Girl, I was like, when is she
going? Sometimes I just say, just pray for me. Sometimes I say, just pray for me. Sometimes I just do the bullet point.
And the blade of grass and the children out in the world and the people in Hawaii and the president and the senators and the Congress and so on and so forth. So.
Because I don't think I say all that.
And
I didn't know it was Jamie. What was wrong?
Yeah, He had had major surgery, and I just found that out a couple of weeks ago. He said he had a tumor. And you know, we just started back talking to each other. And so he had
seen where Prophet saw where it was. He said his stomach. And
And Kalitha, with the pains in her knees and stuff, she said she was doing better.
I guess you have to request prayer for her too, and then we see. Let's see what happens.
Yeah.
Well,
I'm gonna go on and watch the news, and I'm sure I'll listen to you tonight.
Okay, Salt Bae speaking to you.
Oh, okay.
You hear Salt Bae?
Hey, Salt Bae.
My sister can't stand him. My sister can't stand him.
Oh, good. All right.
Thank you. Love you.
Okay. Okay.
Bye-bye. Okay, Salt Bae.